Psalm 100. It says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, in his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations." So I hope you know that includes you and that includes me. All those who've gone before us and all those that are to come. Praise the Lord. So we're invited. The invitation is for all to come into his courts, to come into his presence. But how? How do we come? Do we just come mumbling and grumbling? Do we just come recounting all of our problems? Do we come thinking and worrying about everything that we don't have control over? No, it says very clearly, it says, enter with thanksgiving. Come with praise. And this is our calling to come into his presence. How shall we come? We shall come in this way. You know, thanksgiving is thanking God for what he's done. It should not be hard. It shouldn't take us long to think about something that God has done for us in our lives. I think there's many things we can say, thank you, Lord. Even if it's just for the very breath that we have in our lungs today. There's so many things we can thank God for, but giving thanksgiving is thanking him for all the things he has done for us, the provisions, the care, the abilities, all the things that we have. Now, praise is thanking God for who he is. So we thank God for what he's done, but we also thank God for, and we praise God for who he is. We say, like, God, you are majestic, you are wonderful, you're all powerful, you are mighty, you are loving, you're full of love, kindness, and mercy. See, we adore him, and we give these words, and that's why we have songs and prayers of adoration to praise him for who he is. So we're reminded of what he has done, and we remind ourselves of who he is. These are very powerful things for us. So this is how we come before God daily with our thanksgiving and praise. You know, if we find our prayer life becoming dull and boring, if we find our prayer life going nowhere, ask yourself, do I come to God with thanksgiving and praise? Is that how I come to the Lord? Or do I come in a totally different spirit? It's important that we come before God with thanksgiving and praise. Now, this is not to placate God. I think sometimes, you know, if we have the wrong mindset, and I'm not saying we do, but sometimes people may approach God in that way, saying, okay, do I have to placate God? Do I have to, you know, do something to perform before God so that he'll do something for me? Okay? Now, some people approach God in that way. If I do this for him, he'll do something for me. If I rub his back, he'll rub my back. But that's not what that is about, and that's not what that scripture is about. So we don't perform prayers of thanksgiving for God so that he'll be nice to us, right? That's religion, really. That's religion. If I go in and I do my confessions, or if I go in and I do my beads, or I do whatever that has been created for mankind to do, if I walk the pathway on my knees or whatever it is, then God will, he'll be nice to me. He'll do good things for me. That's religion. That's a false understanding of what it is to know God. So we don't placate God, and we don't also just kind of mull it over with thanksgiving, like, okay, guys, I got to be thankful, so let me thank you for some things. I thank you, God, for food, and I thank you for my bed, and I thank you for my house, and just kind of in a dull and boring way. We actually need to consider all the blessings that we have. Really, the prayers are important, but where the prayers come from is more important. Where they come from is from the heart. So really, it's more about the attitude of the heart that's important for God, because God sees the heart. He knows how we come before Him. He knows. And we've all done it. We've all prayed those quick prayers. But it's when we really consider and we really think about what God has done for us that it does something on the inside of us that's actually very wonderful. It's very good. It's good for us. It's good for our relationship with God. Have you ever heard the saying that attitude is everything? Now, even people in the secular world say that. So there's something about attitude that actually is very important. I don't know if it's everything, but it's certainly significant. And it's significant to the direction that you and I are going in life. It has so much power to direct your life, the attitude of your heart. Thanksgiving is really more of a mindset that we as Christians are to have. A mindset of thanksgiving. It's not just the thoughts we think, it is the thoughts, but it's the attitude we take that produces those thoughts. It affects our lives in very profound ways. Sometimes we don't even realize how profoundly the working of thanksgiving affects us. It affects our disposition, it affects our heart. You know, thanksgiving has the power to shape our lives in some very powerful ways. It can lead us down pathways of blessings that we would not discover without thanksgiving in our lives. Do you know that? There's pathways that you have yet to discover because you really haven't been thankful for what God has done in your life. Thanksgiving in some ways opens doors for us. In relationships, it does that as well. You know, if I'm grateful, and we all know, I mean, there's been times when I realized, God, I was ungrateful. And then there's times when I was grateful and I could see the difference in relationships. Because when I'm grateful in relationships, it seems to make for better relationships. But when I'm ungrateful in relationships, it seems to sour those relationships. It certainly has effects in many ways in our lives. Thanksgiving is powerful. You know, there's even health benefits to having a grateful heart. Did you know that? There's health benefits. I mean, this is secular studies. Secular studies have looked at this, and there was two researchers, Robert Emmons of the University of Cal Davis, Dr. McCullough of the University of Miami conducted a study. This is 2003, so it's not the only study, but it's one that was done in 2003, about the dimensions and perspectives of gratitude. Let me share this real quick. Through their research, Emmons and McCullough had found that people who express gratitude on a regular basis, not just every now and then, but on a regular basis, generally reported higher levels of positive emotions and a better disposition in life. They also found that grateful people typically express fewer unpleasant emotions like jealousy and anger. Overall, grateful people tend to be more optimistic, express greater satisfaction in life, and have lower levels of depression and stress. How is this possible? According to the Mindful Awareness Research Center of UCLA, and these are all secular studies, being grateful actually changes the neural structures of the brain. When people express or receive gratitude, their brain releases two feel-good chemicals called dopamine and serotonin. We've probably heard of those. The former is associated with happiness, and the latter helps to regulate one's overall mood. So gratefulness affects your brain in a good way. You know, I don't know if we realize that, but the practice of gratitude shapes your whole life. It shapes the way we think, shapes our disposition, even our emotions. So do we give thanks to God? Do we give thanks to the Lord? Or let me ask it this way. Is it your habit? Really about habit, right? Is it your habit to come into God's presence with thanksgiving, to give Him thanks, and to give others thanks as well? You know, this week is a great time to think about this. You know, as we approach Thanksgiving, sit down to the table. We should already really have thought about this and considered this. But do consider what God has done for you. How He has been with you, how He's provided for you, worked in the circumstances of your life and brought things to good. Even those things which were not good, how He has brought things to good. As we're going to talk about that today, because God is a God who knows how to turn even the bad things. He knows how to bring good from them. The practice of thanksgiving builds something inside of us. That's very important. It builds something inside of us that will prevail even in difficult times. This is a discipline. It's a practice and a discipline that we choose. You know, it's certainly easier in life and more natural, probably, to our sinful nature, certainly. It's more natural and easier to think about what has not happened in our life or the bad things that have happened in our lives. The things that we've prayed for and not received, it's probably easier to think about those things. Or maybe those unexpected disappointments, those things that came out of the blue that were unexpected and quite difficult. But our habits of what we do come from the choices that we make. And having gratitude comes from choosing to be thankful. You know, you don't have to have great circumstances to be thankful. And we probably know people who have a lot of material things, material wealth. They're well off. They seem to have great circumstances, but they're also sour and bitter and ornery and difficult. Do you know those kind of people? And then it's amazing because there are also people in this world who have very, very little. Like as far as material wealth, maybe the house they live in, maybe it's a dirt floor. But I'm always amazed too how people in those situations can actually be very grateful and very thankful for what they have. So it has really nothing to do with how much you have or the things that you've accumulated in life. It has nothing to do with that as far as the attitude of your heart and the gratitude that is inside of you. It has nothing to do with how much you have. Now, I will say this. Everybody loves blessings. I mean, we'd all rather choose that. I mean, right? Me, you, and I. We all say, well, God, bless us. We'd rather have that any day of the week. We love the unexpected blessings. I can even speak of a few lately when God is just showing himself to be so good. I mean, these last couple of weeks, he's just showed himself to be so good to us. What a blessing. Now, I'll say this. You might think it was good for the other person. But, you know, Eric and I have been wanting to take, especially our girls, to a Christian concert. We've never been to a Christian concert. And it's always, you know, too far away. Too expensive. It just wasn't, the timing was not right. And just, we haven't been able to do that. Even though my girls have expressed that, you know, they said, oh, I'd love to go to a Christian concert. And we've been wanting to take them. And then out of the blue, a family that we know got sick. I'm not saying that was good for them, but it ended up being good for us. And praise God, they've recovered and everything. But they had these tickets. Okay, they had these tickets to a Christian concert, and they offered it to us for free. And we're like, praise God. It was like the day of, they were sick and they couldn't go in that day. And it was just fit everything just perfectly. And it was Jeremy Camp, of all people, right? Now, I don't know about you, but we love Jeremy Camp. We're like, we knew who he was. It wasn't like when we got a concert invitation to somebody we didn't know who it was. We knew Jeremy Camp. I've even watched the movie about his life. And so I have the backstory and everything. So Erica got to go with the girls, and that was really their blessing. And it was perfect because it was in town. It was a great place, great location, great timing, and great price. It really was. It was a great price. Now, that's just God. I love it when God knows the desires of your heart. You love to do it, but you're not sure when. And then he just drops it in your lap. I love it when God does stuff like that. He's done other stuff like that in life. And it's time to be thankful and say, thank you, God. You're so good. You're so good. My girls had a great time. They loved it. And it really did fulfill a desire of their heart and our hearts. But you know, life is not always a concert, right, waiting to happen. It's not always that way. There are those unexpected blessings, which are absolutely wonderful. But there's also a part of life that's hard and feels like a struggle, very much like a struggle. But God says this to us in Scripture. He says to actually give thanks in the midst of those times. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 gives us several commands. We'll pick it up. It says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. and do not quench the Spirit. Three things that God says right there. He says, rejoice, pray, give thanks in all circumstances. Right? He's not saying when life is just good, when the blessings happen. Right? He's saying in all circumstances. And sometimes that's hard for us to hear. It's like, oh, what does it mean when you're talking about give thanks in all circumstances? But he says this. He says, rejoice, pray, give thanks. There's something Paul knows, that this is very connected to the working of God's very nature in us, the working of God's Spirit in us. Thanksgiving opens a door. Rejoicing, praising God, giving thanks. It opens a door in our prayer time, in our worship time, but in our whole lives. It does something on the inside of us that's very important. It's God's will. Wow. God's will for us that we do these things. And it really brings a growing nature of God in us that is able to do this. Billy Graham said it this way. He says, a spirit of thankfulness is one of the most distinctive marks of a Christian whose heart is attuned to the Lord. Thank God in the midst of trials and every persecution. I think what's key there is the Christian heart that is attuned, that's tuned in with God. Because being tuned in with God relationally, you really have to have this heart of thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving is like a prayer connection. It is a connection with God. And it helps us be in tune with Him. So whether we hit a wall in life, whether we hit difficulties that derail us on the pathway of life, sometimes it makes us stop. And you know what? That's exactly what sometimes we should do. We should stop and even consider, what am I doing in life? Am I doing God's will? Does this in life right now have anything to do with God's purpose for my life? Or is this a time and a moment to reflect and say, God, what's going on? What are you doing? What do I need to be doing? How do I need to be focused in this moment, in this time? You know, things sometimes will take us by surprise and take us off guard. It doesn't mean that you're being punished. It doesn't mean that there's some ill will towards you in the heavenlies. I think sometimes we can misread that when we look at circumstances. Because we do need to know that in the midst of good and difficult, hard things, God is with us and He wants to help us. And He wants to help us through things and He wants to help us grow. David understood this. In Psalm 23, he talks about this. He says this. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David knew troubles and sorrows in his life. He had many. He had many days of rejoicing, but he had many days of hardship. And he knew that God was with him in both, through every season of life. God was with him. And he looked to God. See, that's the key. He looked to God in every season, whether it was good or it was hard. He looked to God. He didn't blame God. He didn't say, God, you could do better. Come on, you could do better, God. But you know, we will do that. And there's people who are not following God today because they've done that very same thing. God, you can do better, and when you can do better, come get me, right? But that distances us from it totally disconnects us from God. David knew trouble, and he knew that God was the God who had walked through him in the valley, the darkest valleys. But he also knew that God was the God who had set the banqueting table for him in the presence of his enemies, giving him the victory, the feast, while his enemies watched him eat. How do you know? You don't know that when you you know that because you press in to God even in the hardest times. And God meets us in those places. He knew he was not alone, and he knew God was his comforter in hard times. The ability to give thanks in hard circumstances, this is important. The ability to give thanks in hard circumstances will help us through those hard circumstances and even help us to overcome the hard circumstances of life. Thanksgiving actually will help you. It will help breathe life into your spirit when you don't feel like you've got much life there at all. You know, I don't thank God for evil things, and we shouldn't thank God for evil things and evil in this world. He's not saying that. But he's saying in the midst of hard times, in the midst of difficult things, in the midst of being attacked by the enemy, or painful events in our lives, we can still thank him. We can still give him thanks in the midst of those trials and difficulties. And God has a significant promise to us, to the believer, you know, to those who follow Jesus as Lord and Savior. He has a significant promise in Romans 8:28. He says this, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. This is for the believer. It says it very clearly, for those who love God and those who will believe God to bring good out of the difficult seasons of life. There's so much value in giving thanks to God in all circumstances. There's incredible value in cultivating a heart of gratitude before God. This heart of gratitude will help keep us in the right perspective on life. It will help keep us in the right place with God. Whether we're blessed or whether we're in hardships, we always remember. We remember the God who supplies and blesses us. We also remember the God who will help us through the difficult times. You know, one thing that Thanksgiving does, it's very important, is what God told the Israelites before they entered the promised land. He told them, remember who prospers you. Remember who blesses you. Remember who gives you the land. Because Thanksgiving helps avoid, for us, it helps us to avoid entitlement. Right? Now, if you work your job, you're entitled to the paycheck. But there's so many things that have been given to us, blessings that have come to us that we didn't do anything to deserve, but God watched out for us and gave it to us. We always want to remind ourselves that God gave us the opportunity. God gave us opportunities to work. God gave us abilities. God gave us this. God gave us so many things. So we count and we think about the things that God has given us. It helps us to avoid selfish entitlement in the good times, and it also helps us to avoid bitterness of heart and blaming God or blaming ourselves or blaming others for the things that have gone wrong in our lives. That's kind of a never-ending pathway that spirals down and down and down and down. The life of blaming, the life of bitterness, no good fruit comes from that. But thanksgiving is something that can help us come out of that. And that's important. It's not healthy to live life around my disappointments, just circling my disappointments and considering them and living them and recounting them over and over again. And you know, sometimes we do that when we look back in life, and we all have regrets, right? We all have regrets of things in the past. Could have done this, could have done that, could have been different. But it's important that we don't live our lives going round and round those same stories. We know them. But here's the reality. God has something better for you today. He has something better for you. He has something wonderful for you. He has blessings for you to walk in. And thanksgiving is so crucial to opening that door in your heart to be able. You know, you can't even If you know, without thanking God, without giving him thanks and having that heart of gratitude, it's hard to prepare yourself for that next season of life that the Lord wants to take you into. He couldn't take the Israelites, the first generation, he couldn't take them into the promised land because they were grumbling and complaining and griping and miserable. He couldn't. He wanted to, but he couldn't. But it was the second generation that honored the name of God, who had faith and believed and trusted. It was that generation who was able to go into the promised land. God wants to take us to a new season, but he can't take us if we're still grumbling about the past things, the old things, blaming, pointing the finger. Because sometimes we have to say, God, I don't understand this and I don't understand that, but I'm going to give you thanks today that I have life, that I have breath, that there's things that I can do, there's blessings that I have, and I trust you, and I want to thank you for things to come that I do not yet see. Because even there's things we can thank God for now, but if we'll thank God for even his future that he is designing and believing by faith that it is good, because God is good, so we can have thanks for things to come. Warren Weiserby, a pastor, author, theologian, said this. He says, God has ordained that his people live by promises, not by explanations. And what is that saying? We live by the promises of God. One promise was Romans 8:28, that he works all things for good for those who love him. But not by explanations. If we're waiting around for the why, God, why? Give me an explanation. I won't even go for. I won't even trust you anymore until I have an explanation. People do that in life and they get stuck. And round in the desert they go. That's desert living. You won't always have explanations in life for everything that goes on. Some things are beyond our understanding. It's beyond our pay grade. We just don't understand. And at the point, where the point we stand right now, we don't have the ability to understand. But God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than ours. There are some things in life that if we journey down with God, we'll journey with him and we'll walk with him, and then there will be times, and sometimes it's years down the road, that we can look back and say, oh, yeah, God, now I see it. Now I understand years later what you were doing way back then. I didn't understand it here, but I chose to walk with you anyway. I chose to talk with you and to trust you and have faith and just give you thanks for the things I could give you thanks for. And thank you for the future that you were taking me into. Even though I didn't understand that hardship back then, I didn't understand it. I didn't want it. And I really had some problems with you, honestly, about them. But now today, I can see what you were doing and how you were actually saving me from even worse situations that I could have been in. We don't always see. And even sometimes years later, we don't fully understand. We see some things, but we see incompletely. We don't see fully. And sometimes we won't see fully until we've passed from this life and we go on, and then some things become clear to us. God calls us to focus on his promises and to focus on him. Behold him, look to him. In all times, good times, bad times, look to him. And don't center ourselves on our problems. Pastor Adrian Rogers told this story about, he's a well-known, has passed on now, well-known Baptist preacher, told this story about losing his firstborn child to SIDS. I think we're familiar with that. Kind of a mystery kind of thing that has claimed many young children. He talked about how it hurt. He was telling in a sermon how much it hurt and was very painful for him and his wife. And you know, at the time, he just couldn't understand. He's faithfully serving God. And he's in ministry. I mean, surely, you know, God would bless him and bless his family. And He couldn't really understand fully, but he still trusted God. He still trusted God and did not shut his heart off. He didn't shut his heart off from God. And he saw as years went by, and he did receive God's comfort. God did comfort him. God did help him. And they had several children afterwards, and God blessed their family. But it's interesting, he said, because he said God comforted us. And then later, many years go by, and over the years, he sends many people to us. And it's interesting, God, how he does that. But he sent many people that had lost children to him and his wife over the years. And they were able to comfort them. And they were able to share with them what they had walked through and what they had experienced and how God was real to them. It wasn't just theoretical. For them, it was very real how God had comforted them. And that they were able to comfort others. Does it take away the hurt and the pain of losing a child? No, I don't think it does. But what God can do is still such a blessing. Through that pain, he uses that to minister to many, many people. And sometimes, you know, that is exactly what God wants. He wants to even take your pain, bring comfort, love you, help you, and then help you be a blessing and a comfort to others. You know, you'll have a testimony that not everybody has. And your testimony will help somebody who's walking through the very same things you have walked through. So give thanks to God. Thanksgiving will keep your heart connected to him. And even when you don't have the explanations, and when you even don't know all the whys, and you may not know, thank God for his love, his grace, his mercy. And you know, sometimes he'll show you some things. He'll show you some things. I've heard people do prayers like this. I said, Lord, where were you? And I've heard people getting dreams. I've heard people getting visions. Says, no, I was there. Even in your hardest times, you are not alone. And you can even now, God is committed to you to help heal your heart where he's been wounded. If you've not been healed of wounds of the past, he's committed to you to bring you to healing of even wounds from the past. Keep your heart in thanksgiving. Keep your heart in praise. It will free you from the hardness of heart. It will free you from a grumbling spirit, from bitterness. It will free you. And the good news is it will free you and draw you to the place of joy. You know, thanksgiving is a pathway to joy. I don't know if we realize that, but when we truly thank God and we practice it and we work that in our hearts and we remember what God has done and who God is, it brings us to this place of joy. A joy that you can have even when life's not perfect, even when life has its bumps and bruises. And even if there's some things that we've been through that were hard and very difficult, we can come to a place of joy. So are you thankful this morning? I hope that you are. Take time this week. Take time and remember. Take time and recount. Think about the things that God has done for you. And even the places he has brought you out of. The ditches and the hard places. Think about the Lord and come into his presence. He invites you. Come. Come with thanksgiving. Come with praise. Come and let him meet you in those inner courts. Practice. Make it a practice and a habit of gratitude. It will shape your heart. It will bless you and it will bless others because it will be something that will continue to multiply in your life. Blessings.